Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday evening, September 22nd, and we're coming to you live tonight from Jackson, Mississippi at the CFCC Great Southern Chapter meeting here in Jackson. Anyway, a lot of fun tonight, a lot of fun being had, a lot of information being sent out to our affiliate stations via the Liberty News Radio Network, AM/FM affiliates across the country. Our flagship station, you know, in Memphis, Tennessee, AM 1380 and AM 1600, including the internet listeners around the world, the satellite listeners and the Roku listeners, the telephone listeners. You know, you can make any telephone a radio now, 24/7 feed to Liberty News Radio Broadcasting, courtesy of the Liberty News Line. And actually, I'm going to give you that number right now in case you ever need it. It is 712-432-6623. You call that number anytime, you're going to be listening to...
Say it again, James.
Well, I just closed my phone. So, it's on the website. So if you need it, you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, and that's one of our listening options that is available for you there. It's great to be in Jackson, Mississippi tonight for many, many, many reasons. The great fellowship, the camaraderie, the fact that since we're not at our regular station in Memphis, we do not have to wear bulletproof vests to work tonight, which is good, and it is hot. So we're thankful for that. All right, co-hosting with me, as always, Keith Alexander and the surprise guest co-host of the night, Sam Dixon. And we had a great hour. That second hour was TPC at its finest. Great talk radio. I'm getting the thumbs up here. High standard, gold standard is what we gave you. I've mentioned this a couple of times today, maybe not on the show. I think we did mention it in passing on the show, but I was talking about it earlier as well. I want to make or ask Sam and Keith to break this down for me, and here it is. Rare is the time that a poll number makes me gasp, so writes a reporter for the Washington Post. But there is one in the latest NBC News Wall Street Journal that elicited one. Mitt Romney is currently polling 0% of the black vote. According, again, ladies and gentlemen, to the Washington Post, quoting a NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, Mitt Romney is officially polling 0% of the black vote. This is last week. The article went on to read, yes, it's true, blacks have long been the base of the Democratic Party, even more so now that one of their own sits in the Oval Office, and then it trails off. Again, one of their own. Race doesn't exist, so they always tell me. So they always tell me race doesn't exist. So then, how can Barack Obama?
It doesn't exist for white Gentiles,
right? How can Barack Obama be a black president? Why is it noteworthy to black voters that he is a president? Well, obviously, again, the double standard in play. But this is the reason I want to bring this up. The GOP will undoubtedly interpret this data and come to the conclusion that they need to increase their outreach to blacks, which will, of course, be a fruitless endeavor. Blacks aren't going to vote for anyone who isn't black. It's as simple as that. Their politics is tribal, and that's healthy and good for them. Pat Buchanan, during one of his appearances on this radio program, says the GOP needs to go hunting where the ducks are. But the bottom line is that...
And the ducks are in the white community.
But they're ashamed of it. They'd rather lose.
Yeah.
Someone like Romney would rather lose and get the black vote.
Well, John McCain obviously did.
He is deeply ashamed that he is supported by people of his own race. And, you know, I just have to say that I admire black people for their intelligence, and I admire Barack Obama for his loyalty to his father's side of the equation. It's the Mitt Romney who hates the Confederate flag, who's ashamed of us, who wants to put an amnesty through, who instructed every Republican member of Congress not to criticize the Emancipation Proclamation that Barack Obama issued, setting aside our immigration laws and basically granting legal status to 800,000 or more illegal aliens. It isn't Barack Obama who is immoral. It isn't the black voters here. It is Mitt Romney who is immoral.
And, of course, he pales by comparison to John McCain, who in the last election showed his face, showed his ugly mug in Tennessee on one occasion throughout the entire campaign, and that was to appear at the National Civil Rights Museum and apologize before a jeering, hooting crowd of black Memphians to explain why he didn't support the Martin Luther King holiday back in 1980 or 1981 or two or whenever it was that it was proposed. And to see that mealy-mouthed coward saying, "I'm sorry, and these people were throwing stuff at him and everything, and it hooting and booing. You know, what a picture of
self-castration.
Yeah, what a picture of strength and manliness he provided for the American voting public by that. And you know, he felt good about himself for doing this. You know, this man is suicidal, and he basically threw the election. He would rather be politically correct than president, and I'm afraid that Mitt Romney...
He got his wish.
Mitt Romney is cut from the same cloth. If he's waiting, if McCain is still waiting to catch the first bouquet or get the first pat on the back for committing political Harry Caray in the last election, and, you know, why do we get these wusses from Blue State America, people like McCain, people like Mitt Romney, as a candidate for the red state portion of America? The only people that cast votes that count towards the election of a Republican are the voters of red state America, and we are treated like pariahs. They will not let anyone from red state America that has anything approaching an authentic red state outlook anywhere near the levers of power in this country, and we just sit back and take it, election after election.
Well, it's one thing if they are true believers in this, you know, anti-white point of view, and if that's just what it is, but
well,
do they want to lose?
Need.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying maybe they are, but apparently they want to lose. They would rather not be the president, as you just mentioned, than do. And I'm not saying they have
the
to come
out. The problem is, the rest of us lose, and we don't want to lose.
but you don't understand. It doesn't. They don't really sincerely believe. We are ruled by sociopaths. It's what I was describing, and the fact that any kind of normal loyalty among a white person is negatively correlated to advancing to leadership. It's most acute in politics, where we're and like I was talking about the law student who would be president of the fictitious white student association. But you see it all through life. Three generations ago, in a law firm, a boy who got married and had a kid could get a raise, and the firm expected him to go home at 5 o'clock to be with his family. Now, it's illegal to give a boy who gets married and has a kid a raise. It's against the law.
Illegal, I didn't know
that's
that.
Right. And the sociopathic law associate has an advantage, a competitive advantage, over the normal law associate, because the sociopath doesn't give a damn about his wife and kid. He's willing to work till 8 o'clock so he can make partner.
Much less his rights.
Throughout white society, our society has been changed so that sociopathic people rise to the top. And a sociopath a sociopath does not connect. A sociopath doesn't connect with the other guys in Little League. He never connects. It's all about self.
All right, hang on there. Sam Dixon and Keith Alexander co-hosting with me tonight. What great embarrassment of wealth here on my flanks tonight. We'll be back with more right after this. Break.
Misunderstand me, baby. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well. Or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur. Or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up three or four times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to cardioprim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We're here in Jackson, Mississippi, and I know the people here can give us a round of applause. Rebel or yell or two from Jackson, Mississippi, and it's hard to believe that this very...
Or a bulldog bark.
A bulldog bark, that's right. Hard to believe that this little setup we have here is broadcasting to AM/FM affiliate stations across the country, but indeed it is. The marvels of modern technology makes you happy you lived this long. Maybe the only good thing about living this long is the fact that we can do so much with so little here. But we were talking about Romney and the failed strategy of the Republicans. The majority strategy, it was something that we talked about, Sam, in Washington, D.C. at the NBI conference. You and I were both there, written by Peter Brimelow and Steve Saylor of VDare. That's a strategy that will work if, indeed, the Republicans were more interested in winning than being politically correct. But we know at the end of the day, they are both controlled by the same interests that control the Democratic Party, and they're just playing their part. But let's take Romney. Let's refocus on Romney for a second. We were talking about the fact that he is polling 0% with black voters, according to a Wall Street Journal NBC News poll. 0%, according to
not 1%.
According to the election results, and I know Sam is skeptical that George Bush did this well, but in 2000, they say. Now, keep in mind, he was running against Kerry, but they say that George Bush received 12% of the black vote.
No.
John McCain in 2008 received, according to them, 4%. Mitt Romney now at 0. So you see 12-4-0%. That's the way the Republican Party is going, despite the fact that over that time they have only increased their pandering to so-called minorities here in America. But we have seen on many occasions Mitt Romney, and I've posted this to my website, Mitt Romney say he wished he was Hispanic because they have such a rich heritage, and how his family had come from Mexico, and he wished he was...
So the son of a people, the people that produced Shakespeare and Milton, he wants to be from Tijuana.
No, he wants to be...
And anyone thinks we'll be better off with someone like that as president?
total lack of judgment, I'd say.
Well, that's just one infraction that I'm bringing to your attention. He then goes on in other speeches, and in a very public speech that he gave to the NAACP. I didn't see Mitt Romney addressing the crowd here at the Sea of CC today, but he has certainly been to the NAACP this year to speak to them, and during that he highlighted the fact that his father marched with blacks during the so-called civil rights era, and this was the thing he was most proud about, his father. So he wished he was Mexican. He's proud of his father for that. In the meantime, he's polling, even after all these appearances during which he has said these things, he is still polling 0%. Wishing he was Hispanic, wishing he was black, he is polling 0%, okay? It has not done him a bit of good. In the meantime, those people are never going to vote for Romney, and their children will never vote Republican.
Why should they?
As Sam said, why should they? But here's what I'm getting at. In the meantime, there are a group of people that will vote Republican. My state, Tennessee, went more for McCain than any other state in the union. Over 70% of the voters in Tennessee in 2008 voted for the Republican candidate for president. The South will vote for Romney. What has Romney said? We know what he said about blacks and Hispanics. What has he said about
white Southerners?
Well, white Southerners in particular. At a Republican debate in 2008, CNN had a question from the audience. They asked him, and it was actually a video question that came in from a voter. It was very well articulated. This guy didn't look like a rube, and he had all of his teeth. He didn't fit the stereotype and that the media would try to give you. And he asked very simply for the candidates, what is your position on the Confederate battle flag? And the moderator gave that to Romney. And Romney's response was one of the most despicable. And we have it up this week. Again, I reposted it to thepoliticalcesspool.org. One of the most despicable denunciations of the Confederate flag that I've ever seen anyone give. In fact, there's no way Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton could have done better than what Mitt Romney said in his denunciation of the flag. So, in the meantime, these are the people that are going to vote for him. This is what he thinks about them and their culture. And we know what he thinks about the blacks and the Hispanics. But if he thinks that showcasing his hatred of Southerners is going to curry him any favor with the others, he's absolutely wrong. And I can only hope that his contempt for the GOP's base will be reciprocated in November. And I know that there are some Romney people here. But anyway.
Let me say something.
You take the first crack, and then we'll toss it over to Sam.
That's probably a good sequence. What this shows is the truth of Pat Buchanan's comment. Either the Republican Party is going to end illegal immigration or third world immigration, let's be more correct, or else third world immigration will end the Republican Party. This apparently white voters in America are suffering from something akin to Stockholm Syndrome. They have more respect the worse their treatment is from the Republican Party. And, there needs to be a price to be paid for this. I'm going to make a modest proposal to the voters of America. Take a look at a map of red state and blue state America and find out what type of state you're in. If you're in a red state like James and I are, we're in Tennessee. There is no way on God's green earth that Tennessee is going to become a blue state unless there is just fathomless voter fraud afoot on election day. So consequently, we can afford to cast a protest vote. After seeing that videotape of Mitt Romney, I can tell you that I am not going to vote for the man. I can't vote for somebody that despises me, my ancestors, and everything we stand for. His father, who he brags so much about, was the CEO for American Motors, the manufacturers of the Nash Rambler, so he apparently had the business acumen and probably the political acumen that particular failed enterprise would indicate, and that's why he was a laughingstock. Next to Harold Stassen, the poster child for a hopeless, foray into presidential politics, the poster child would be George Romney, Mitt's father. Now, This person expects you to vote for him. He takes your vote for granted. If you're in one of these so-called battleground states, I can understand holding your nose and voting for Romney. But on the other hand, if you're in a red state or if you're in a blue state, your vote basically doesn't count. You know how you know it doesn't count? How many political ads have you seen on your television? How many radio ads for either Romney or Obama have you heard? If you're in Tennessee, you haven't heard any because we're not in play. They save their powder, you know, for the battleground state. So consequently, they've taken you for granted. And you need to, like George Wallace said back in the late 60s, send them a message. We need to send these people a message in the Republican Party.
We're going to toss it over to Sam after the commercial break and let him unload on this particular topic of conversation. But, Keith, I think you're right. Mitt Romney knows and takes for granted the fact that every Confederate state is going to vote Republican. And so, therefore, he can dump on Southerners in the hopes and in the
curry favor with them,
with some of the battleground, yeah, with some of the Yankees in the battleground state. But he's wrong. And again, I wish that the Southerners that not only that he takes for granted but holds in contempt would
hold him in contempt.
Would hold him in contempt and return the favor on Election Day. The days of the 49 state landslide may be over, but I wouldn't mind, I honestly wouldn't mind Romney getting run over like that. Would Obama say anything differently? No, but I don't expect him to. I expect a little more from certain people.
You'll probably get kinder words out of Obama towards white Southerners than you would Romney.
You might, and I can see him right now in that video saying, I would never have a flag like that in my house. And the all-white audience just, yes, more, give me more. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk more about it right after this. It was at one of the Republican debates in 08.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two. But you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. To get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Hard to believe that 2.5 hours has already come and gone since we first took to the airwaves this evening. 30 minutes remaining tonight in Jackson, Mississippi at the conference. We are live, unrehearsed, and uncensored, and we're having a good old-fashioned Southern Porch Talk here with Sam Dixon and Keith Alexander, who have been co-hosting with me for the majority of the evening. Earlier in the show, you heard from Reverend Thomas Ray Floyd and Tom Dover, president of the council. Anyway, Sam, over to you. We were basically, and I don't know what you can say that we haven't already said tonight, but the fact that the Republicans in general and Mitt Romney specifically believe it to be, or at least appear to believe, that it is a good model for electoral success to pander to the only groups that will never vote for you and dump on the only groups that will.
Well, these people are not dumb. I mean, Mitt Romney is not a stupid person. And I think what you have to understand is that you have to stay in, if you're going to be a political, quote, leader, end quote, in America, you have to stay inside the invisible fences. And if you win an election on the wrong issue, you will have a problem. There was a guy in Atlanta named Patrick Swindle who defeated a Jewish incumbent who was a past president of the B'nai B'rith. In a campaign, he was not an anti-Semite, but it was a campaign that he emphasized his own Christian connections and this kind of thing. He ended up going to jail. They went after him fang and claw. And he was caught up in an effort to involve him in taking so-called dope money,
took him down,
which he rejected. And when he didn't do what they wanted, they summoned him for a grand jury. When he got home from Atlanta, from China, with 24 hours of no sleep, wouldn't give him a continuance, put him for a grand jury, and questioned him about the sting program they had that he had declined to take the money on. And they conjured out of his testimony 10 counts of so-called perjury, and then they prosecuted him in front of a predominantly black jury as a white Republican male, and he went to jail. Now, he won the election, but he won it. He committed suicide by winning the election. Mitt Romney, the system knows they can never offer a choice. The parties have to be in lockstep on anything that matters, and that's the most important to them. How could any these people that run the Republican Party are successful, they're intelligent, they have data, they have research. Consider this following statistic, which I, as a hick from Dixie, I know this from reading stuff. The Atlanta University is one of the preeminent black colleges in America, and they did a study in their business school in opposition to privatization of government services. This study said that privatization is inherently and necessarily racist. The reason being that of the black Americans, African Americans who have jobs, 75% of all African Americans who have jobs work for
the government.
and they have the highest unemployment rate of about 20% virtually all the time. So this means that 20% of them are unemployed. Why are they going to vote for Mitt Romney and proposals on how you can get a bigger 401k and how you can make more money and doing away with the capital gains tax? Why are the 20% unemployed ever going to vote for that? Why are the 75% of the black of the remaining 80%, 60% work for government? Why are they going to vote with the Republicans? And of the 20% remaining, most of them work at minimum wage jobs. Why are they going to vote so that rich people can get richer? And of the 2% that work in private enterprise that don't have minimum wage jobs, they're tokens. They're affirmative action tokens. They have good jobs because the government is a hiring partner for every hire in America. There's absolutely no reason, setting race aside, which is their main motivation, there's absolutely not any reason why black people should ever vote for someone like Mitt Romney. And he has to know that. But he has to show that he's a member of the club, that he's with the program. He's with the white-hating program, and he's going to be personally successful at our expense. That's his agenda. That's the kind of person Mitt Romney is.
That's the best breakdown I've heard yet.
What that does show, too, is the consequences of bucking Jewish power and influence that Mr. Swindoll learned an object lesson in, first of all. And secondly, you know, we need to understand that public employment is basically a favorite of the black minority in particular, because they are liberated from the pesky consequences of concepts like productivity. You get a job, you get a pension, you get great health insurance, and you know, it's just a gravy train for them. So consequently, and you know, what happens in America because of this is that you have more and more people that want to work for the government, particularly in a place like Memphis, and there is always going to be a fight, a budget fight. They want to tax the productive white population more and more to provide money for the unproductive black, unemployed, and welfare class. Even if they are employed, they're getting a government check. Everybody's getting a government check. Like you heard Sam say, 75% of government employees are black.
75% of blacks are government employees.
75% of employed blacks are government employees. Yeah. Is that right? Okay, well, that's it. So see, 75% of employed blacks are government employees. Now, that's a staggering statistic, and that shows you that, see, Henry Loeb, for example, let me just make this comment. Henry Loeb, who was one of my Jewish heroes, by the way, he was the former mayor of Memphis, Tennessee during the sanitation workers' strike. He left the Jewish faith and joined my church at the time, an Episcopal church, and where his wife, who had been an Episcopalian and a socially prominent person, had belonged. And at the time before Martin Luther King's assassination, but after the sanitation workers' strike had hit, he was the featured speaker, one of the featured speakers, in a kind of debate between him and a proponent for the union who was a Jewish, a Roman Catholic priest from up north. I think it was Father Groppi or something like that. That's a name that seems to stick in my mind from back then. And what Henry Loeb said was that the media is trying to turn this into a black-white issue. It's not. It's a labor management issue. He said, in Tennessee, we have a long tradition of not recognizing public employee unions. I think it's a good tradition, and we ought to stick with it. He said that basically we've seen how public employee unions work in other parts of the nation, and it's not good. He said that, for example, he said, if I give a union to the sanitation workers, how am I going to deny one to the police and the firemen? He said, the public interest is much too vulnerable to work stoppages from public employee unions like a police or firemen's union or a sanitation workers' union. And because of that, we ought to oppose it. He said that, if you have a union, you will have a work stoppage. You know, take it to the bank. And then secondly, he said that, it's too easy for politicians to cut deals with these unions in return for financial support and for votes, knowing that they won't be around 25 years from now when the chickens come home to roost and all these pensions and other elaborate benefits become due. So that's why he was opposed to it. And Henry Loeb was the type of Jew I would have loved to have unleashed upon the whole nation. He was Jewish, had an Ivy League education, went to Brown University, which is one of the minor Ivies, but he was 6'5" and looked and sounded like John Wayne. And I remember Father Groppi getting up to give his rebuttal and said, oh, this is just rationalization. Henry Loeb is a plantation master and they're running a plantation here in Memphis. And Henry Loeb grabbed the podium and stared down at him and said, let me tell you about these people that march in the streets. They stink. But see, Henry Loeb, if you Wikipedia him or, you know, check him out on the internet, he's the segregationist hater mayor of Memphis, and he was nothing of the sort. He was wonderful. The reason he left the Jewish faith was Rabbi Wax of Temple Israel, which was a reformed Jewish congregation in Memphis kept haranguing him from the pulpit every Sabbath about what he needed to do on the garbage worker strike. And I remember him telling that adult education class, I was in high school at the time, he said, "Rabbi Wax believes in the separation of church and state, just not the separation of synagogue and state." So, see, this is what public employee unions are, as Sam pointed out with that statistic that he just floated out, essentially a racial issue. That's what we need to understand. And more than that, it's a principled issue. If you want to pay more taxes to support a bunch of layabouts, then support public employee unions and support or resist the privatization of these
We're getting off message. We're talking about race, not labor unions. And the point I was making was not that labor unions are bad or the public employees are bad. It's just that Republicans have no chance whatsoever. Who are they getting any kind of significant black vote?
Sam, hold it right there. We're coming up on break, and we're going to let you retort right after this. We're coming back on the final segment of the show tonight, so stay tuned for that, everybody. We'll be right back.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our 0-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
He certainly suffered worse. All right, folks, you'll have to indulge me for continuing on a conversation that was going on off the air as we come back on. We are now in our final segment, and I want to give the platform and as much time as he needs to our distinguished guest co-host tonight. So, Sam, a final word from you. Take as much time as you need.
Well, I really have said what I need to say. I say again, the problem, the solution to the problem has to be with the white community. And the two things necessary for the solution, there are three things necessary for the beginning of the solution. One is we need to begin giving our people a message, a practical program. No more of the closed circuit, quoting some dreadful black crime in Wichita and fussing over the and playing what I call the game of ain't it awful, but offering an actual solution. And the solution is that we get an ethnostate. Just as the Jews have said they are entitled to their ethnic state in Israel. The second thing is we have to enforce white unity. We have to patronize and befriend those who are loyal to our community, and we have to give the good old-fashioned Anglo-Saxon cold shoulder to people who break ranks, like Mitt Romney. So long as you tolerate rank breakers, you cannot win. That is the beginning of the solution. You absolutely give nothing to those who break ranks and betray you.
Well,
and the third thing
the
we have
side.
To do is to get worthy elites. We have to create, when we have our new ethnostate, and in the course of the struggle for the new ethnostate, we have to change the paradigm by which the most sociopathic and least loyal elements of our community rise to run things like the American Bar Association and the American Medical Association, and being governor of Massachusetts and being the Republican candidate for president. We have to create a situation like that enjoyed by our competitors. The more loyal someone is to our community, the more faithful they are, the more their social status, the higher their social status, the more their income, and the more their power. The more sociopathic, the more totally ostracized and marginalized.
You bring up a good point, and we have, Keith and I have on two occasions dissected an article entitled An Effective Strategy for White Advocacy. And one of the things that the author correctly points out is that more than any other group of people in the world, whites strive for and must have and must attain social status. They would rather have social status than anything else. And since it is in vogue now, and currently trendy and fashionable to be anti-white, that is what our people are. Is there anything you can add to that?
The French philosopher Guillaume Fay said it very well. He said it in English: white Christians would rather die than die of embarrassment.
Let me say something on this too. Another thing about that is that it is a typical Jewish technique that they use throughout the diaspora, which led to their banishment not only once, but sometimes as many as three times from most nations in the diaspora, not just European nations, Middle Eastern nations, any nation they were in. And that was to make alliances with the ruling elite of the dominant racial stock of their nation to the disadvantage of the rank and file of that stock. That's what they did, for example, in places like France. They would make an alliance with the monarchy and the aristocracy that worked to the disadvantage of the French peasantry. They used their unique position as financiers. You know, in medieval Europe, usury was considered a sin, so Christians could not lend money at interest. And if you don't lend it at interest, you don't lend money, which nature abhors a vacuum, so Jewish bankers like the Rothschilds filled that vacuum, and they've constantly been using their money to enforce this type of a fissure in the fabric of white Gentile society.
Sam, that being said, we have a few minutes left of the broadcast, and I certainly want to spend the last couple of them recapping today where we were, what we did, and I know we talked about that a great deal and to a great extent at the top of the show, but by all means, you have been our featured guest and indeed guest co-host tonight, and if you need a volunteer third job, Keith and I would be happy to have you each and every Saturday night, but in lieu of that, a parting shot, final word for the audience that I'm sure has been thoroughly enjoying your contribution
well,
tonight.
As the old song goes, we belong to a mutual admiration society. But My last thing is that if you're listening to this, we're all financially pressed. God knows I am terribly financially pressed. But we can all give up a pack of cigarettes or a cocktail or something. And if you wonder why nothing is being done and you have not sent a contribution to someone like our guest, our host, James Edwards, or to organizations like the Council of Conservative Citizens or to Jared Taylor, then your answer is you will go on paying those private school tuitions and paying the higher price for your house and a white neighbor. All these things will go on and get worse until you start faithfully spending a small amount of money every month supporting those who are working for you.
Well, thank you for that, Sam. And certainly I would ask no one to do something that I have not done and continue to do myself. There's not a month that passes that I don't make my own contribution to this radio show and to other organizations. So we're all in this together. As Sam mentioned, by all means, CFCC.org, our great hosts tonight. I might be the host of this show, but our host tonight, hosting the radio show itself, has been the Council of Conservative Citizens, most specifically, as I have continued to mention, the great southern chapter of the CFCC here in central Mississippi. Again, a great tip of the hat to David and L.E., who have put together a great meeting today, and it truly was, gentlemen, a great meeting, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it. The good news is, folks, you can be part of this fun, part of this community, the camaraderie, the fellowship that perhaps you have picked up on through the course of the radio broadcast tonight. All you got to do is go to cfcc.org and become a member. You can enlist online, and the council will put you to work. We'll see you at a point in the future, at a future council meeting. And as far as the radio show goes, as Sam mentioned, of course, our work is listener-supported, and we have given, I think, our listeners a great return on their investment over the course of the 8 years with the strides that we have made and our Viking raids into the mainstream, into the establishment. This show has done very well, but it could do a lot more, and I would like for that potential to be realized. Until September 30th, we are conducting an ongoing fundraising drive. The quarterly fundraising drives are our lifeblood, and for 8 more days, the third quarter fundraising drive for TPC is still ongoing. So if you contribute at the appropriate level, we've got great incentives for you, and you can contribute at thepoliticalcesspool.org, but be sure to do it this week so you can be a part of that and have access to those great gifts we're going to send you. thepoliticalcesspool.org, and while you got your wallet open, cfcc.org. It's a small price to pay. It truly is. Got one question here. We got a gentleman here who drove in from Texas, Central Texas, Dallas, Texas. Was it worth the 10-hour drive?
It was worth every penny, every second, and I recommend it for everybody. They should come see you live.
There it is. Yeah. It's first time. Long time supporter. Longtime friend of mine, and his first time to be in the presence of a live show in all of its glory here, and he drove a long way to get here. Yeah, sure.
I think you've reached a new height tonight with this dialectic between Keith Alexander.
No, this is it.
It's just reached a new level of political analysis.
Now, you listen every week. You listen every week, so you know what Keith brings to the table now. He is our great intellectual, great white shark, Keith Alexander the Great, as we call him. But adding Sam Dixon to the mix, hey. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like the clash of titans here, the intellectual titans, just except they're not in opposition to one another. It's just more of a good thing. And so, no, you listen to the show every week. Having Sam add the depth tonight that he did, in addition to Keith's normal brilliance, what was it for you as a listener?
I think it was the best political analysis I've ever heard on the radio, period.
And you are a talk radio lifer. You're a talk radio, you listen to
I'm
a lot.
I'm 60 years old, I've heard it all.
Well, very good, very good. Well, any other parting shots from the audience tonight? I know you've come tonight and have been a long-time listener to the show. Your first time to be at a... Keith's got to take a call. I see, that's what I'm talking about.
So
the ladies know that he's about to get off air, and they think he's at home still, but he's not.
He's in Jacksonville.
Yes, a big fan of Winston Smith, co-host of the radio program, along with Bill Rowland and Eddie Miller, the Three of them could not make the trip down here tonight for various for three different reasons, but they are not here, but I'm sure listening. And so we got a shout out to Winston Smith tonight. Yes, yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Our friend from Dallas is not the only person to mention Courtney from Alabama tonight, who is a
response. I just saw a picture of her.
Yeah, she's here in the Alabamian here on the front page. I see her picture, and Sam has mentioned her as well. But yes, she responds to just about every blog posting we put up at thepoliticalcesspool.org. So hello to Courtney from all of us.
Kim.
Anyway, we're out of time, though. We would say hello to more girls, but we're out of time. God bless you all. Live life the way we do with that retreat surrender apology. We'll see you next week. We'll be back in Memphis. We'll see you then on Saturday night. Good night, everybody.